together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Pastor Brad Bigney, with my wife, Vicky.
Hello, Thrive family. We're
so
back.
So glad to be with you because, oh my goodness, we love talking about marriage because we love what God has done in our marriage. Because you may be thinking it, and we certainly were thinking it, we had no idea how to get unstuck. And we were Christians. We grew up in a Christian home. We went to Bible college.
Ah, for crying out loud. And, lots of money was spent.
We read our Bibles. We were both having a quiet time. So take heart. Don't allow Satan to lie to you and think you are an anomaly. Everyone else automatically has a great marriage and something fundamentally is wrong with you. Not true. We were so stuck and did not know how to get unstuck, but God showed us a way out. And that's what we want these shows to be, a way out from where you are to a better place, not a perfect place. I hope you don't hear us acting like it's perfect. Whew. We can still get our wires crossed and turn sideways, can we, baby?
Mm-hmm. We work through it.
Mainly
we try.
You, right? Not me.
Stop
oh,
it.
Oops, nope. This whole show is about pride. Listen to that. So we're digging into, you're not going to get to a better place until you understand, what do I not know that God wants me to know? What do I need to let go of that I'm holding on to thinking it has to be this way? So if you're thinking, ooh, this sounds painful, oh yeah, it is painful, and it's work, but it's work worth doing by God's grace and with his help. So here's the passage we're digging into, 1 Corinthians 13. And it reaches a point where it says, love is patient. It is kind. But guess what it's not? Love does not envy. It does not parade itself, and it is not puffed up. So in our last show, we said what we want to do now is begin to unpack and help you realize, whoo, when we start talking about pride, arrogance, conceit, puffed up, parade, there are so many different manifestations of pride. Pride is one of those sins that is like a chameleon. It can manifest itself in dozens of ways. And our favorite thing to do is acknowledge and spot someone else's pride, but we don't see our own
right
at all.
Much like, easier to do.
Oh, like the guy sitting there in Panera Bread with cream cheese or mayonnaise in his mustache, and everyone sees it but him. We don't see our own pride. So we want to help you. If you're thinking, oh, proud? I'm not proud. I bet you are. What does it look like? What does it look like when it raises its ugly little head? So we want to highly recommend Stuart Scott's booklet, From Pride to Humility. I have used this. I hand this out like a doctor uses penicillin and antibiotics for physical ailments of people. I hand this out as I try to help people, and it has helped me and helped Vicky so much. So let's dig into some of it, Vicky. Talk to me about one of the manifestations of pride that so often can be a problem for us in our marriage.
I think being very self-focused, kind of a woe is me attitude, which is basically just self-pity. Mm. And I have this quote from Stuart's book that I really like. It says, people who are consumed with self-pity are focusing on their own selves too much. They are not concerned with the glory of God and with being thankful for what good gifts and talents the Lord has given them, but instead are focused on how they think they've gotten a raw deal or how they are not as good as someone else. Self-pitying people desperately want to be good, not for the glory of God, but for themselves. Mm. They want to do things for and by their own power and might for the personal recognition. They want everyone to serve them, like them, and approve of them. When these desires are not fulfilled, a prideful person will become even more inwardly focused and will continue a vicious cycle. Mm. So I think it's just a good reminder, and self-pity is something that you actually see, and we don't really think of that as pride.
I mean, it looks like a quiet person that mm-hmm. might be kind of huddled up near the potato chip bowl,
right,
at small group, not saying much at all.
But they're thinking something.
Oh, yeah. Because we tend to think the only version of proud is the person like,
right.
I just got back from, Saudi Arabia, my plane on my lake and in our mountain home. You're like, all right, proud. But, ooh, self-pity, huh?
Yeah, so I think, because basically we've talked about this in earlier shows, certain aspects of our life for all of us, there's hard things in them. But we don't necessarily dominate our conversation with them. In fact, you shouldn't. And I think that's just more of a sign of maturity. But I think the self-pity person is just, you know, my property taxes went up. My gutters are overflowing because I need to clean them out. My check engine light came on in my car. My front door's broken and critters are getting in. It's just constantly how hard and bad my life is. And it's very hard, I think, especially as a spouse, to be around someone like that. Because I really think maturity and sanctification, when you become more like Jesus, is accepting what you can't change and getting to work on what you can change and not dominating the conversation.
Yeah. Or not constantly wishing you were something you're not.
Right.
Because that's the other thing that I think our culture struggles to settle into and instead talks in a way that just isn't in line with reality. So much of our culture acts like you can be anything you want to be. Set your mind to it.
Right.
Believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the best things that we could actually embrace is limitations and just recognizing God does not make us all the same.
Right.
We all have limitations. There's just things that are weaknesses and things that are not what other people have or are.
And I think only when you embrace those can you actually become the person that God wants you to be. And because I really think a person full of self-pity is very hard to be married to. It's very hard to have a friend that's full of self-pity, because basically that person just has an endless cup of need.
It feels like a bottomless bucket.
Yeah, you're just overwhelmed.
I can never encourage them enough.
It's never
enough. I can never affirm them enough. I can never say, oh, no, you really are.
Right.
And you know, it's exhausting.
Exactly. I mean, like if you're, you celebrate your spouse's anniversary, but your spouse isn't happy because it wasn't done just the right place at the right restaurant. I wanted to go to, the steak was overcooked. It was a bad anniversary.
So this is a person who constantly has in their mind exactly how they think it needs to
be. And sometimes they haven't even conveyed that to you. And even if they do convey that to you, sometimes these things are hard hoops to jump through. And I just think the older I get with birthdays and anniversaries, like they come around quite often. So lighten up on your spouse.
No.
I just think, once again, sorry, it's like, you know, it's all about me. It's my birthday, and I celebrate all
If you're
going to
stay married, and I hope you will, for decades.
For your spouse, please lighten
good grief,
up.
Just keep in mind, Valentine's happens every year. Your birthday happens every year. Your anniversary happens every year. If you're expecting your spouse to do this spectacular thing, you're expecting three spectacular things a year, and they roll around fast, where he or she is supposed to just be so creative.
Pull out all the stops.
One of the things that I appreciate, and again, people are allowed to have differences, so lean into understanding what your spouse actually appreciates and wants. But I think if we could let up on each other, if you are that person that really does want something special to happen, just be okay with it not being everything you wanted.
Right.
And be willing to say, thank you.
Have low expectations.
I just think too often I'll hear a story where the spouse did something.
Right.
And the one on the receiving end simply points out where it fell short.
Exactly.
And what they
wish. That's exasperating.
It had been, because let me tell you, as a guy, I'm speaking for a guy, and I bet guys out there right now are going to say, yes, say it, Brad. When we get a lot of that, where my spouse simply points out, instead of saying, oh, honey, thank you.
Right.
She just tells me the three things that, were not
right.
And it should have been if just, you know what I want to do
That's
next
time? That's exasperating.
Not what she said.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
How about nothing?
How about maybe happy anniversary?
Yeah,
that's all you get next year.
I did all this and
right.
all I got was
still
criticism.
Didn't hit the mark.
I was
right.
told how it wasn't quite right. And so it's just
And
like,
I think when it's never good enough and it never hits the mark, it's just such a sign of pride and it's killing your relationships.
But
truly.
I'm guessing, Vicky, that the person out there that is like this has never considered, I'm proud when I do that. Why is it that I'm so fixed on how I think it has to be and what they
right.
should have done?
It's all about me.
Because notice it's I. Notice
parading
the pronouns.
Yourself.
It's yeah. I, me, my, what I thought, what I wanted. And so we're talking about pride. When you are regularly disappointed with your spouse, often that is rooted, can be, in pride. Why are you thinking so much and so often about what you think they should have done? And so we're talking about what could kill your marriage and what could bring it off life support. Whew! Pushing past, puffed up, parading, and this ugly sin of pride where I am thinking too much about my thoughts being the best thoughts. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some more about what God's Word says and what it would look like to try to put it into practice in your home.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. And they're talking about pride in a way that's not loud, it's not obvious. The kind that hides under self-pity. The kind that turns every disappointment into another me story. You know, and it's a place we've all been in before. It's easy to believe that humility means just being silent, when really humility means surrender. It's letting go of the idea that everything has to go your way. Birthdays, anniversaries, how your spouse shows you love. That's the beauty of Thrive. That's the beauty of what Brad and Vicky are doing every single week. It's not about pretending your marriage is perfect. It's about learning how grace works when you're both imperfect. And if conversations like theirs are helping you, I want to point you in the direction of Fortis Plus, because you're going to get more of what they're doing every single week. You're going to get it from Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Dr. John Kratz, as well as Brad and Vicky. And you get it absolutely free. No signups, no paywalls, no subscriptions, just hundreds of hours of content sitting there right now. And we're adding to it every single day. You can download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever you get your apps, on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org. And I'll also throw in, if you want to help us continue giving this biblical content out free for everyone else, would you consider joining us and standing with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Fortis Institute is able to do what we do because of people just like you who have linked arms with us because they believe the content that we're producing matters and they want to see it go out to more people in more places all over the world. So if you're giving to your local church already and you have the margin to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, find out how you can do that right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's get back to Brad and Vicky now as they continue to dig into what pride looks like and how grace helps us let go of it. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, with my wife, Vicky. And today,
hello,
we begin to talk about different manifestations of pride. It doesn't look just one way. And we love to spot the way it is in someone else, but that's not my manifestation of it.
Right.
And so we want you to get a hold of this because I haven't run into a couple yet, and I haven't run into a human being yet that isn't guilty of pride. Pride is one of our most pronounced and deeply rooted sins.
And so has so many manifestations.
Oh, it just has tentacles and different manifestations. It's a chameleon. It can show up in different ways with different people. So we were touching on how often the person who has constant thoughts of how that their spouse didn't do it right and they're feeling sorry for themselves, it hasn't been what I should have received, that's actually pride. Sometimes we call it self-pity, but notice the first lead-in word, self. And we've been hammering away on that for dozens of shows now. Self will kill marriage. So yeah. Other thoughts about this?
This reminds me of
manifestation.
Brad and I went to speak at a church in Denver last year.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, it really was. And there's a really sweet couple in that church who said, hey, we have a condo outside of Breckenridge if you'd like to use it and come early. And we're like, of course we do.
Well, yes.
Yes. So we got to Denver and of course,
flew into Denver airport.
Right. So we go to the Enterprise counter and I'm the one that gets all the rental cars and things like that.
My sweet Vicky handles the rental car details.
So of course we were doing economy. So, I mean, I think this is my first time in Denver and we were going to go take an interstate west to Breckenridge up into the Colorado Rocky Mountains.
Steep, steep mountains between the airport.
But once again, I've never been there, so I don't know what this is going to be like. So the person behind the counter says, so, like, don't you want to upgrade? I'm like, no, I don't want to upgrade, and I'm bringing my own gas bag. Don't charge me for that either because I know how this thing works.
Vicky says no to all those other little boxes you're supposed to check.
Let me stand here.
We don't want a GPS. Like, well, we don't want your gas. Nope.
So I was doing pretty fine until the Enterprise representative said, well, if you're going up into the Rocky Mountains, I'm not sure that car will make it. And I was just like, what are they talking about this? You know, Brad and I can't discuss it because we're standing there right in front of them. We need to make a decision.
I thought to myself, it's on you, Enterprise. Don't rent us a car that won't make it.
Exactly.
You let us sign up online for economy. You should have Denver Mountain Economy version. Don't give us a car. Well, I'm not sure that car will even make it. Like, what?
Well, we go out to our little car. It's this little tiny white Chevy Spark. And I'm sorry if you have one. I'm not making fun of your car, but it is not made for
the Rocky Mountains. I've never seen a Chevy Spark.
It's kind of like has the motor of like a go-kart, a child's go-kart.
Even when he walked us over to it and I laid eyes on it,
it was embarrassing.
Wow, that is pathetic.
Yeah. I mean, our luggage would barely fit in
it. I have a full, very full-size suitcase. She has one we call Big Bertha.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
We both had our biggest
suitcase. We both
travel
with lots of stuff.
You know, because we were going to try to hike some, so we got all kinds of stuff.
We were going to be there like a week.
I mean, we worked and worked to wrestle two full-size suitcases into the back of this Spark.
And the whole time, in my mind, I hear the Enterprise.
It really is named appropriately. It's nothing but
a
Spark.
It's not a flame. It's not an explosion.
It's not a flame.
No.
It is a Spark.
Spark.
It just barely,
But the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, are we going to even make it? We're going to be on the side of the road in the Chevy Spark as we go on I-70. And I was just fearful the entire time. But I think the reason this comes to my mind is because just like the things we're talking about with the pride, if we try to do things in our own strength, it's like having a Chevy Spark. You're just, you just can't do it. And I think, once again, we've talked about this, but it's just so crucial to your marriage. We need the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I like what Ephesians 3:16 says.
Because this little spark didn't sound like a lawnmower. It sounded like a hairdryer.
Yeah, it was so
like,
sad. We did make it, but you know what? The next time we go to Denver, we're going to get, I mean, I'm cheap, but I'm not that cheap.
It was frightening. I mean, these are rocky mountains that we're driving.
And we're like,
we didn't need to be in the slow lane. We needed to be on the shoulder. It's like someone's going to crush us from behind. And our car's just going, wee!
So when we try to do these things in our own strength and power, it just falls flat. And Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray that out of the glorious riches, He, Jesus, may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in the inner being. I mean, Jesus can help you change. And then 1 Peter 4:11, whoever serves is to do so by the strength that God supplies in order that in everything God may be glorified. I mean, we can't do this. We literally cannot do this thing called marriage apart from God's Holy Spirit. And that's why He gave us his Holy Spirit when Jesus left us.
And you certainly will not begin to put pride to death in your own strength. Right. I mean, the flesh will not do it. It'd be like killing your very self, and self doesn't want to die. In contrast to the Chevy Spark, that verse that Vicky read that had the word power, was it Ephesians 3, babe?
Yes.
Yeah, by the power of God. That is the word in the Greek, dunamis, from which we get
not
dynamite.
A Chevy Spark.
So contrast to the spark, you want some dynamite power, explosive power, which to put it in vehicles would be the Tahoes that we saw blazing by us.
Oh yeah, this Chevy Spark Tahoe had four cylinder. Can you believe that?
So as the Tahoes went blazing by us
and the
on
Range
our way to Breckenridge,
Rivers.
You want Tahoe happening in your life? Then you need God's power. We don't have it. So let me share with you my favorite verse that brings this into view and frames it up, the balance.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes Christians struggle, well, does God do it
right,
or do I do it?
And this is a good clarification.
My favorite answer is yes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people just stare at me. We love either ors.
Right.
Like either God needs to do it or I'm going to try to do
it. It's just easier to figure
out. And I watch people try to do it all on their own.
Chevy Spark.
And that doesn't work. And then I watch people... It's this version, let go and let God. I don't do anything. God does it all. That's not what the Bible teaches. And you will stay exactly as you are if you keep saying, God, I just mm-hmm. take pride out of my life. Just take pride out of my life.
Right.
He would be happy to, but he's going to show you some things to do about it. And so I like to call it a grace-empowered effort. So it is effort, but it's not raw effort on my own. Grace-empowered effort. So let me give you my favorite grace-empowered effort verse. 1 Corinthians 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. The Apostle Paul talking here. He's not talking about getting saved. He's talking about living the Christian life now. Mm-hmm. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, if he'd stopped right there, that would be let go and let God. Well, it's just God. He doesn't stop. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. In other words, if you're a Christian and you're saved by grace, he is still giving you everyday grace. The only question is, are you doing anything with it or is it in vain? You got to act on that. You got to know his word. You got to know where to renew your mind. You got to know what to be killing. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And that word labored right there, the original Greek language of the New Testament had two different words for work. The normal word was ergo, where we get ergonomics. This was a word that was saved for farmers, and it was kapio, and it meant to labor to the point of absolute exhaustion.
That sounds hard.
But would you not agree, Vicky? Some of the things you and I both have had to work on,
right?
It was quite exhausting.
It
felt unnatural. It felt, I'm not sure I can do this. This, you know, I'm so used to being this way.
But I think, to be honest, the hardest part for me was even just recognizing it and being willing to work on it. The hardest part for me was because I was so prideful and continue to be.
Because pride will blind you. So
I had to be convinced I need to work on this. But to be honest, once I surrendered and let go and said, okay, God, show me what I'm not seeing about myself, he loves to answer that prayer.
Yeah.
And in other shows, we're going to talk more about what he showed us.
Because even in these shows where we're digging into puffed up, I hope you haven't been thinking show after show, oh man, that's my spouse. That's my spouse. That's my spouse. It starts with what Vicky was saying, with saying, God, show me mine.
Right.
Show me mine. And it can be painful to see it if you've seen it before. A different view of you. Because we often carry very high views of ourselves. Show me what I'm not seeing. And then I want to put forth effort.
To labor,
To kill this, to be killing this, to be working on this. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. But the grace of God, which was with me. He talks about grace on each side of our effort. That's how you get to a new place when you lay hold of God's grace and say, here we go, God. Take us to a different place. Show me what I'm not seeing about me and give me power to do what you tell me to do. Oh, your marriage could begin to thrive instead of being barely alive. But you'll have to know what God's word says and be willing to do it.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.